Luke, good afternoon and thanks for dropping by.
Thanks for having me.
Look, we've got lots to talk about today.
It's Friday again.
It is Friday again, that's right. Yes, I know. It's Friday again and we're looking forward to our knockoff drinks a little bit later on. But let's not talk about that right now. Let's talk instead about today's topic, which I find a little bit intriguing.
Yes.
You've heard of the seven deadly sins, right?
Yes.
So today, apparently, we're talking about the seven deadly taxes that can impact your finances.
Yeah, look, exactly.
What's this all about?
Bit of tongue-in-cheek today, nothing too serious. More just, I guess, I'm finding that people aren't doing things for a range of different reasons. And all we're trying to touch on today is, in light of the word tax, okay, we're not talking technically, you don't have to change a station or pull over and get a pen out. It's a bit of tongue-in-cheek in relation to some things that can impact your financial position or decisions that you make and the way that you make them that could have an adverse impact on either the outcome of your portfolio, the management of your cash flow, or just a general perception around what is good and bad and some things that can influence decisions that you may or may not make.
So when we use the word tax, we're not talking about government taxes.
No, we're
talking about other things that could hinder your financial journey. Now,
Exactly. Before
we start on the list that you've brought with you,
Yeah. The
one I've heard about plenty is the loyalty tax, which is when you stay with the same company, say, for example, an insurance company, just because you always have. And instead... You know, instead of doing that, you could be looking around, shopping around, trying to find a better deal somewhere else. But if you don't bother to do that, you end up paying more than you otherwise might have. That's the sort of tax we're talking about.
And that's exactly right. And that was my number two tax, the tax of lazy or the tax of procrastination. And
right.
I don't mind what you call it. I think what you've just
the
said
loyalty
there,
tax. Yeah.
Loyalty tax.
I've always banked with the Commonwealth. I'm not going to change now.
Yes. And if you think the Commonwealth care, you're sadly mistaken. But that's a great example of that procrastination and lazy tax. And let's just leap into that one. You know, not shopping for a better deal, not pricing your electricity, not pricing your water, not checking if you are actually watching one of your 10 pay TV stations. And we're all guilty of that because we all sit there and go, what would you like to watch, darling? And then you spend an hour trying to find something across 15 different platforms. And in the end, you go to bed because you can't find something to watch anyway.
Yes, you've spent as much time flipping through stuff as you could have actually spent watching a movie.
Exactly right. You know, so that's the tax of procrastination or the tax of loyalty. The other one especially that I think people don't value is the tax on time. And I've been really banging this home lately with new parents and a number of younger people in my office this week to explain the benefit of compound interest. And I often say, regularly, you don't know what you don't know. And if I could swap that for something, it would be do a little something a little sooner. And that tax on time is really important because the sooner you can start anything and make informed, progressive decisions from a compounding perspective, which is impacted by time, the outcome is going to be much, much better. And you only need to undertake a small exercise with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And we talked about it a couple of weeks back with, you know, how to accidentally set your kids up by being very consistent for a period of time and taking advantage of compounding and just really being consistent. And that was all I tried to sort of drive home this week with some younger clients that came in was what you're doing is great. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
And keep doing it. And when you think you're going to stop, keep doing it. And I think that's the same with a career. It's the same with sport. It's the same with going to the gym. It's the same with your money. Do a little something a little sooner. Be consistent. Repeat it. Automate it. And take advantage of the time that you have. Because I'd much rather work with people like that than the people that come in at 59 and go, so I'm going to retire at 60, Luke. This super thing, should I start looking at it? All they ever say to me is, I wish I'd known. I wish someone had explained that. I wish I'd been told. I wish I'd looked into it sooner. So time is really, really important. The other one is the tax on poor financial education or on being silly. you know, doing things because your friends say so, doing things because you haven't been informed. I think with the way information is shared these days and all of the various platforms and resources that people have, I think there is very little reason for people not to be able to either educate themselves or look into something to get some validity around an idea or a concept. So I think being engaged and thinking about your future at any age is very important, because then it ties straight back into that tax on time and making the most of the decisions and the things that you can do going forwards. So I think if you want to learn more, you will. But I think I never knew that is not an excuse for me. And people that have come into my office and thrown that up learn very quickly that that's not going to fly.
There's an old expression, knowledge is power. But you could 100%. You could also say knowledge is money, couldn't you?
Well, I think exactly right. And I think that's a great example of doing something a little bit sooner and having that time to recover from bad but make the most of good. You know, we've seen some ups and downs this week in markets.
Oh, yes, we have.
And, you know, that's been coming. And I think we'll continue to see an increased level of volatility while interest rates and inflation are key drivers in people's information, but also their decision making. But if you have the time to recover from dips and troughs, I've been excited this week, I'm not going to lie. We've been buying some stuff and sort of waiting for these things to occur. That doesn't mean you now go holus bolus into something. You might just, again, cautiously nibble away, build on some positions, remembering that it's a longer-term view for most things. The next one is a tax on emotional decisions, making and having stressful environments. So if you worry about something and you don't seek to understand it, I think it exacerbates the stress that it causes. And I think we all know that we've had times in our lives where we've stuck our head in the sand and thought, I just hope this goes away. But in actual fact, when you confront something or look into it or actually try and get to the bottom of what the issue is, I think the peace of mind that's provided around the information that you attain to then make better decisions or work your way out of something. I think doing things when you're upset and making short-term decisions in an emotional state can be detrimental. And I also appreciate that things have got expensive. People are under financial duress and it's very expensive to do anything and live now. That doesn't mean you want to race out and make decisions on a whim. And I think if you need to get advice, get it. If you want to talk to a trusted advisor on any level, do so. But just get some clarity around what you're going to do, because in a heightened sense of emotional stress, you can race out and make silly decisions or be misinformed around the outcome of what could happen. So I think that's a really important one. But avoiding it will just make something potentially worse, because you could drag out the resolution or the outcome, or you could even drag out the problem by not doing something. So I think that's a really important one.
Yeah. It should be fairly clear, I guess, that making a decision while feeling stressed and anxious is more likely to result in a bad decision. But, of course, you're under pressure to make a decision. That only complicates matters.
Yeah, and I think that's when you need to reach out the most and get some help and get some clarity to avoid, if someone had told me, if I'd known, if you can avoid those, you're generally moving to an informed environment where a better decision is the likely outcome, which is ultimately what you want, to try and alleviate the pressure and stress that you're under already. I think that's a really good one. The next one's a bit, again, tongue-in-cheek, the tax of vanity. You know what I mean? It's we're bombarded by social media, TV, radio, pay television. Everything is telling us we need A, we need product B, we need product C. And I think, you know, the old keeping up with the Joneses is very difficult and can be very dangerous. And as somebody that sees most people's true financial position, I think there's a lot to be said for the front of a lot of people. And I guess that's just pointing out that if someone looks like they're that much better than you socially, financially, and from a toy or a product or a gizmo perspective, don't Don't let that weigh on your conscience.
I saw an interesting observation in a TV show I was watching recently where they were talking about people that look wealthy but aren't, and they said, this town is full of people that are living in houses they don't own and driving cars they can't afford just so that they look like they're successful. Yeah.
And that is exactly my point. I know the people that I help and look after, the ones that have the most are the ones you would have no idea have it.
Indeed.
Because they're past caring what people think. And I think that for me is really the true measure of wealth, is that you are so secure in your own person that you don't care what people think. And I think it's the exact opposite, as you just pointed out. It's those that are the flashiest are generally the ones that are up to their eyeballs in debt trying to look like that.
Indeed.
So just don't be disheartened by what you see. And just remember that it could be smoke and mirrors.
Yes.
And don't let it affect your mood or the things that you do, because that can also make you, I guess, decide on a more rash outcome or take additional risk that you don't need to try and catch up to something.
We've got two more taxes, but we're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll come back and tell you what they are in just a moment. Well, it's about 9 minutes to five now, and today Luke Smith from Envision Financial is running me through the seven deadly taxes that can impact your finances. We've covered five of them. We have two to go.
Yes.
Luke, what's number six?
Well, number six is an extension of the vanity tax, and that's peer pressure. You know, I find everybody comes in and says, oh, I need an investment property. Why? Well, everyone at work's got one. Or I need a self-managed super fund. Why? Oh, because my mum said, or my uncle said, or the guys at golf said, or the ladies at Mahjong said. Well, you need to do what's right for you. Because again, keeping up with the Joneses, the Snydros, the Thomases, and you know, the Kiebers, and pick a name, any name, it's actually not important. You need to make decisions that are right for you. You need to work at a pace that is right for you. You need to invest and carry debt that you're comfortable with. And just because somebody has the risk profile of a drunken rhinoceros doesn't mean that you need to go and have the same risk profile. And I find people are heavily influenced by social groups, people at work, people that are older than them, family members. And to take information from third parties is great. You know, don't discount the knowledge of an older generation or somebody that's been through something that you haven't. Draw on that by all means. But don't fall into the trap that you have to do what they've done at the scale that they've done it. Because more often than not, I have people come in and say, oh, I'm going to do that because he's doing that. And I say to them straight up, listen, you don't have the ammunition he has to do that, because I know what he's got and you don't have it. So whilst it's great you want to do that, do things in a controlled manner with information at a pace that is right for you. And the likelihood of a slow and progressive outcome that is positive is far better than wishing you hadn't gone neck deep right out of the gates.
Indeed. And finally, the seventh of the deadly taxes is?
Yes, the tax of fraud. And this one is oh so prevalent. And something we all face on a regular basis. And I guess it's really just raising, keep your guard up, be diligent, and be suspicious by default. Because I think it's a lot easier to say, oh, we caught that, than, oh, whoops, I lost that.
Don't click on links in emails.
Yeah, look, be very diligent, you know, and if you're not sure what the difference is between this, that, and the other, get your IT person involved, do a little bit of Googling and widen your knowledge so that you're a little more aware, and then you can potentially help that older generation that haven't been around computers as much as you may have been. So just be aware and be safe, and that'll help you keep more of your hard-earned money.
Indeed. So what are the key things to remember?
I think be prepared, don't assume, get advice, avoid lazy tax, chase savings, watch out for the fraud, don't keep up with the Joneses or the Kiebers, and avoid lost time. Do a little something a little sooner, make the most of the opportunities that you have, and look to educate yourself with little steps and build on things through good, consistent behaviour.
Yeah, just on the fraud thing, apparently ASIC recently reported that Australians lost $2.7 billion to scams in 2023.
It's crazy.
Billion with a B. That's a lot of money.
And
And unfortunately, it has been brought to my attention recently that here in Australia, the banks are highly unlikely to cover your backside. Sometimes they will return some of the money, but usually not. There are regulations in other parts of the world requiring the banks to cover your losses. That is not the case here. So you need to be very, very careful guarding your passwords and making sure that people don't get access to your identity and taking advantage of you in that way. It is a big problem in Australia, and it appears to be only getting bigger. And the latest advent of artificial intelligence tools also means, unfortunately, the scams are becoming more and more sophisticated. They look more and more like genuine messages from bodies like MyGov or the ATO, and they're not. And people are getting fooled by those because they're so increasingly sophisticated thanks to the AI tools that are now available to the criminals. So be very, very wary. Don't click on links in emails. I know for a fact MyGov will send you an email that says you've got a message in your inbox, and it will tell you to go to the website and log in, but it does not have a link to click on. So if it does, then it's a fake email. You've got to be very, very careful. So I think we're just about there, Luke. We've covered our seven deadly sins or taxes that are going to impact your finances. So where can listeners get more information?
Yeah, so office number 6260-4749. We've got envisionfinancial.com.au on the internet. We've got all of the previous shows there under the resources tab. We've got the podcast, the Strategy Stacker, Luke Talks Money on iTunes and Spotify. We've got the Envision Financial Canberra YouTube channel. We've got some shorts. We've got Strategy Stacker on the Tiki Talker. And all of these types of sins are in Smart Money Strategy, your ultimate guide to financial planning, available at online bookstores, but not Booktopia.
Oh, well, hang on. Booktopia is the one that's going...
Booktopia gone.
Exactly. It's unfortunately no longer around, which is a bit of a pity because it was not a bad place to get books. But anyway, there you go. The other ones are still there.
They are still there.
The other ones are still there. And, of course, the real world bookstores are still there as well. So
in all good and bad bookstores.
Exactly. So ask for it by name, and if they don't have it in, they'll get it in for you. Smart Money Strategy, your ultimate guide to financial planning. Luke, thanks very much. We'll see catch you next week. Yeah.
Will do.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial back with us once again at the same time next Friday here on 2CC.